Amen. Amen. We thank God for everything that we heard. Everybody, you all did wonderful. And give yourselves a hand. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing to take just a minute to look at the heritage of the black people. Amen. And just to think about it, and I'm sure there's, like, as you said, there's a lot more stuff that could be said. Amen. But let us move to the word here just for a few things. I'm so glad that God's word transcends all the foolishness that the world puts down based on differences between people and all that. And I'm also thankful that the gospel is a universal message to all people, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. Amen. So we're going to just take a little time here today to look at a thought that came to mind here. And we're going to read a few verses from the Old Testament book of Joshua in chapter number 24 and verses 15 through 17. And then just a few verses in the epistle to Jude. And I have on your printed text the NASB, so if you happen not to have that and have a KJV, it'll be slightly different. But by and large, the NASB was a little more clear for our purposes to talk about this subject today. So we're going to read a few verses from Jude 1:17 through 23, actually. Okay, so let's go. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. That is the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord, and now the New Testament from the epistle of Jude, starting at verse 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last times there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Amen. That is the New Testament word of the Lord. To the people of the Lord, you may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. I want to talk just a few minutes about sustaining godly love against the aggressive decay of the world. Sustaining godly love against the aggressive decay of the world. That's our topic. Now, the reason I'm saying that, you know our central theme so far is learning to love like Jesus. And so it occurred to me that it's going to take some necessity. There's going to be some strong things that are necessary in order for us to be able to do this, because there's going to be a lot of different types of opposition. Some of it is internal. In other words, it comes from inside. And other ones are external. We have to deal with the world. But there's some things we have to be careful about on this topic, because we know that God loves the world, and yet people still oppose God every day. And we see that in our everyday life. And we may even have a history of a time in our own lives when we oppose God, or for some reason we're not walking with the Lord. So how do we sustain godly love against the aggressive decay of the world? We see the world going downhill more and more every day. It seems that more and more people are turning away from the Lord. and particularly in American culture, because we saw, in addition to what we saw with the whole paradigm of how black people had been oppressed, you wonder how a nation that was founded on godly principles ever got to a place where they had slaves and all of that in the first place. Mm-hmm. If they understood what was being said in the Bible by God, how did there ever, where was there ever slavery here?
Right. That's right.
You might ask the question. The question is, some people had to violate what God said, mm-hmm. and do what they wanted to do, and then what was motivating them was greed.
Yeah, yeah.
If we can get other people to work, and all we have to do is bring them in, put them to work, and we can make millions. Their motivation was greed, as the scripture says.
Right.
It said that the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See, so you wonder, why do people violate the scripture? Okay, and even with that, America was still considered one of the most godly nations on the planet. And it was for this reason that God separated them in order to perpetuate and propel the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
And think about what happened in the short history of America. This is one of the youngest nations on the planet. Yeah. And when you think about the immigration situation and all that, now we've come full circle to where immigrants are now our enemies, according to certain people in Washington.
Yep.
And we need to now fight against immigrants rather than the fact that the whole country is composed of immigrants
right.
and people
right.
who are bought here from somewhere else. Nobody, they displaced the people who are already here.
Yep.
They came in, overtook, and took the real estate and threw them out,
yep.
cast them into certain places in the country, and then brought other people in to work to build their empires. We know all about all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did it ever get to be like that when they came here seeking to spread the gospel to a new world?
Mm-hmm.
When the people went out of Spain under our King and Queen Isabella and came here, they were coming to find the West Indies to spread the gospel,
yep.
they said. That's why you got all these names around here, like El Salvador, which means the Savior, which is the first place they land. We could go on and talk about a whole lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so just to get back on our subject, how do we sustain godly love even against aggressive things that people, and there's an aggressive decay. It started there. It got a little better for one while because the Bible did move into the center of the culture.
Yes.
It was written into the constitution of the country.
Amen.
But, you know, and if we would just do what it said, we'd be all right. But the fact is, the greed factor overrides the common thing that is stated in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we don't have time to talk about it all today. I might have to cut to the chase because our time is short. But I want you to see that we need to learn how to sustain a godly love no matter what, because Jesus suffered a greater contradiction against himself than anyone could ever imagine.
Amen.
Everything he went through was probably even worse than all the black people went through in all of time.
That's true.
And if this was not the first culture to ever have slaves, slavery goes way back early in the Bible, and it's because of human sin and oppression. But it gets worse as time goes by. And the more so-called modern we get, the more heinous it becomes.
Yes.
And so we have to be careful and learn how to be God's people in the middle of it all. So I ask the question, as we consider the magnitude of what God has done to supply abundant mercy to everyone who believes in his provision of his own son Jesus as full payment for all of their sins, what should we do as the fallen world around us, from which we were redeemed, plummets more deeply into more and more sin? What do we do? And even demands that there be no contradictions against it. They say, you know, the only people who are not tolerated in America, everybody is tolerated if you do some deviant thing and you're twisted one way or the other.
Yep.
But you Christians, oh, you all are not tolerated.
No way.
Because you all, that's the only thing that's not tolerated. Isn't that interesting? How did we get here? We got here because we threw prayer out of the school. We threw the Bible out of the center of the culture.
Yep.
And we have a whole generation of people coming up now who have little knowledge of God, little to none. And they think we can just generalize and say God is any old way we want him to be. So we want to make God in our image instead of the fact that he made us in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful about that. But now, you know what? Being like them won't help in the situation. That's why we have to sustain godly love, even against this aggressive decay that we see in the world. A lot of young people today have no knowledge, and they think, oh, whatever you want to believe is fine. Any way the wind blows is fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
So considering that the fallen world is not our enemy, this is what I want to remind you of, they're not our enemies per se, but rather they are our mission piece.
Okay.
This creates a need for the believer to pray and study deeply on just exactly how to live sustaining godly love against the aggressive decay of the world.
Mm.
You have to pray about it.
Yes. Amen.
In the flesh, you won't succeed. But if you're in the spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yes.
So pray about it. I've been praying about how can I maintain a Christian composure, because it's going to get to be worse. I'm going to let you know now. I can't give this as a warning, because I expect it'll get worse.
Yes, it will.
Yep, because more and more people, now we're being slightly outnumbered by people who think any way the wind blows is fine with me, and who do you think you are to question it? And I'm not trying to question behavior. I only want to make clear what God requires. That's what my purpose is to explain the goodness of God towards you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're involved in or what you think.
Amen.
God still loves you. He will accept you right where you are. And we're the most inclusive group of people that there are, really. We're not excluding people.
Yes, we are.
We want to include people.
Yes. Amen.
So it doesn't make any difference what color you are, you know, what type of sexual thing you want to deal with, or any type of drug thing or anything else that you may condone. We tell you there's one solution for the whole problem.
Only one.
One solution. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now the church and the people of God, let's say in general, throughout all time, have always been in a similar position. We take a look at the old covenant, we see that Joshua had a very similar position. God bought up the godly people right in the midst of the corrupted people that were around them. So this is nothing new, is what I want the church to see today. This has been being dealt with by God's people throughout all the ages. The people around them in Egypt were all practicing false worship and idolatry. And yet God bought up a people for his own possession right in the midst of Egypt. And he established his people no matter what was going on around them. Now, after the death of Moses, Joshua took the reins. And here's just another little snippet. We could go to many places in the Old Testament to see exactly what I'm saying to you here. So Joshua knew we got paganism on every side. But so he presents to the people, he says, "And even if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," see where he starts? "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Who you going to serve? "Whether it be the gods of your fathers," that your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, "or the gods of the Amorites," these are people around them who were practicing idolatry, "in whose land ye now dwell." But he said, "But as for me and my house," we take a stand, "we will serve the Lord."
That's right.
And the people answered, now these are the people God's supposed to be, they answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." See, they had the right testimony.
Yes, they did.
Although sometimes their attitudes didn't line up with their testimony. "For the Lord our God, he is that bought us up out of up in our fathers out of the land of Egypt." That's God who bought us and delivered us out of the land of Egypt.
Amen.
"From the house of bondage." That's because they too were in slavery.
Yes.
"And which did those great signs in our sight." That was the 10 plagues that the Egyptians were smitten with. We saw that.
Amen.
We also saw the Red Sea open up, and we had to come through on dry land when our enemies were pursuing us. We saw great miracles and signs and wonders that God did. And so, yes, we will serve the Lord. You see, that's what they're saying here to Joshua. Joshua told them, "I'll put you to the test. Who are you going to serve? See, me and my house are going to serve the Lord. What are you going to do? You have the freedom to do what you choose." So we're not restricting anybody's freedom, but he's saying, "As for me and my house, we make a choice. We are going to serve the Lord. So we're going to model this thing for you."
Model, yes.
No matter what you do, we're going to model what it means to be saved. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
And you'll see the difference, because you'll find out God will be with us, and you will have more trouble yourself by trying to do it another way. And so the people say they will do it. They make a pledge with their lips and tell Joshua that they will do it. And they go on and say here that we saw the great signs and wonders that he did in our sight, and he preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. That's the truth. We have a testimony in this country. This country can never say that God did not do what he said he would do. If you come here and you proclaim the truth, which he did, even though all that sin went on, all that corruption, slavery, thievery, murder, rape, all kinds of stuff, God did what he said he would do.
Yes, he did.
That's why America is still standing and is the most blessed and powerful nation
Amen. On
the earth. Even though we said a few years ago, no more prayer in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out. Take the Ten Commandments down. We don't want them up anymore. We don't want God in the culture anymore. We want whatever you want to choose to be God to be God. That's the kind of stuff we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
See? And but God still held up his end.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, how long will it last? We don't know. But we'll see. So this is the reason why we need a lesson like this, how to sustain godly love against the aggressive decay of the world. And it's not only America that has decayed in times past. Other nations have risen and fallen, and God is the one who is the architect of that. It says in the book of Acts 17, he raises them up and he sets them down. So we need to be careful. Joshua had enough wisdom to understand and to know that the Gentiles had caused a great negative effect on the people of God, and that it would be not easy for them to continue on being sanctified unless they were there was a determination within their soul to fight off the negative influences and the present temptations that would distort the realities of the calling of the true God.
Amen.
So he called them to the test to realize that it requires devotion to serve God in the midst of paganism, and that's what you and I are going to
wow.
need.
Wow.
We got to be devoted. You know what?
Yes.
It's easy for us to get sucked up in the vacuum of all the stuff that looks like people are having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They're living it up. And look how we live.
Yep.
Yeah. See? You know, but you got to get past it. You got to get in your mind and have a resolve that I will serve the Lord no matter what I see going on.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
This is the problem. It's not going to be easy. You know what? When we see that stuff, it looks like it's fun sometimes.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. You may get hung up in it. Just because you know it's wrong doesn't mean something in your flesh doesn't say, well, that really looks like I can enjoy that. See, so you really are going to have to make a settled case in your mind that I'm not going to go that way. No matter what we see happen. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you would never see a billboard with somebody with underwear on.
No way.
No way. Now you might see anything on a billboard. Something way worse than that.
That's right.
See what I mean? You know what? Young folks have impulses, and so does old folks. I'm not going to say old folks don't have impulses.
Yeah,
they do. That's but will
true.
You be dragged into that thing just because they say it's okay? And you see it everywhere? Will you be able to resist the temptation you yourself have to stay away from a thing of that sort? See, that's the question. And it's going to take, as I said, some prayer.
Oh, yes.
You're going to have to pray about it. It won't be easy.
Yeah.
You might find yourself getting sucked into the kind of thing that you really don't want to do in your mind. Your mind might say no, but your body is saying yes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be harder than what we say.
Yes.
So you got to start off with a commitment. You got to start off with prayer. You got to realize that when people say, oh, anything constitutes a marriage, which is what they're saying now, but God tells you what a marriage is.
That's right.
So we're going to take a stand on that no matter what the culture says.
Mm-hmm.
See, certain things we have to stand on no matter what the culture says.
That's right.
So it starts off with making a commitment in your mind that I will serve the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to do it his way.
Right.
I'm not going to do what I think or what feels good to me
Follow.
Or what's popular in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So like Joshua and the children of Israel, the church is called to take a stand for defending what God has said. The Bible, not what people think.
That's
they
right.
want to throw the Bible out because we can get rid of that, then we don't have any standards.
Mm-hmm.
And not allow the world to adjust the meaning of it because of popular opinion. While at the same time knowing that we too require mercy from God, which he has provided by giving his own son, therefore there can be no compromise.
No
God
compromise.
Already is in. 100%.
No compromise.
See, so we need to get to the place where we say, I will not compromise. I will not go down with the world.
Yeah.
I will take a stand on the truth.
Amen.
And I will take whatever flack comes my way as a result of it.
Yeah.
So you got to get there, because if you don't get there, it'll be easy for you to be sucked up into what the world is doing. Now, Jude gave a similar warning to remind us of the aggressive decay of the world. Jude said, but you, beloved, now notice he's calling us beloved. We are a group of people loved by God. You ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where are those words found? In the New Testament, written in God's word. See, remember those. That's the first thing. Remember the word of God. And it came from the apostles who were with Jesus, trained by him and sent
to evangelize the world. That they were saying to you, in the last times there will be mockers. Uh-huh. Following after their own ungodly lusts.
Yes.
Now that ought to tell us what time it is right there. Yes. These are they who cause divisions, worldly minded, mm-hmm. devoid of the Spirit.
Yes.
But you, beloved, now notice that but. This is a contrast. You, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is how we're going to attain the victory. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. God's promise will come to pass.
Oh, yes, it will.
If you just hold on, it will come to pass.
Hold on.
It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus says it's going to come like a thief in the night. That they're going to be saying peace and safety, and sudden destruction will come upon them like birth pangs upon a woman with child.
Right.
But those who are ready will be ready to meet them in the air.
Right.
He says it's going to be the last trump. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So remember that all the time. But don't put the people down, because these are the people you want to reach.
Yes.
We're not against them. They're against us.
Right.
But we want to have mercy on some, as Jude says, who are doubting. Some people are in the midst, don't know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
When you see those people, minister to them. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. Somebody might take a little bit more of an aggressive approach for you to get them to understand the truth. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. They may be pretty far indulged and entrenched into things that are wrong. But don't ever set them aside. Realize that prayer will bring them through.
Yes.
Mercy will help them bring them through.
Yes.
I needed prayer and I needed mercy before I could be saved.
Me too.
See, and God made sure that there were people in my life to minister to me, to get me out of the pit. So Jude tells the church to keep yourself within the love of God. And be discerning enough to know that the enemies of God are powerful negative influences and must be resisted, while at the same time we are out of true godly love. Basically what you see here is, out of true godly love, we must always realize that the keeping of the world must continue, or we have nothing unique to offer. If we didn't like the world, what do we have to offer the world? And we can only expect judgment and wrath rather than salvation. So we want to keep that separation.
Yes.
And it has to do with where you take a stand and where your faith is during these times.
Amen.
There's a lot of things that will be resistant to help to militate against your love in these latter times.
Yes,
but the key is always going to be prayer.
Prayer
in the Holy Spirit, the Word. Fill yourself up with the Word. Cut yourself off from things in the world to take you into a negative direction. Fill your mind with the truth. Pray with one another and for one another.
Yes.
See, realize people, even in the body of Christ, are struggling with some of these very things.
That's right. Amen.
Luke says this. He says, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you."
Mm-hmm.
If everybody thinks everything you do is good, they don't have anything they can say, something's wrong. That's a red flag.
Oh, yes, it is.
He says, "For so did their fathers to the false prophets."
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody's saying, "Oh, he's so wonderful," and all that, something's wrong with your ministry.
Yeah.
If they don't have nothing to say about you. See, for the wrath of God, it says here in Romans 1:18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. In unrighteousness, they want to say, "Well, that's your truth, and this is my truth," or either there is no truth. Like Pilate said, "What is truth?"
Yep.
See, like it doesn't exist. But he found out later on it exists.
Right in front of
them. Because that which may be known about God is evident within them. So this is what we have to hold on to. Everyone, no matter where they stand, what they're doing, what they're stuck in, how long they've been stuck, God says, "I created you in my image."
That's right.
"And I made you to love on you."
Amen.
"And I sent my son to love you out of your sin."
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, he can love you out of it if you just trust him.
Thank you, Jesus.
He died for you to pay the bill, so I don't even see
Thank
the sin
you,
anymore.
Jesus.
See, we want to be clear with what the message is. I'm not against anybody for doing anything. If God's willing to forgive you, who in the world am I? See what I'm saying? I'm not holding anything against anybody.
Yes.
God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are.
Yeah, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Notice this here. He goes on to say further on in Galatians, Luke 16, no man can serve two masters.
No way.
For he will either hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Don't let money be the focal point.
Amen.
And whether you minister or not. Galatians 2:11, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face.
Yes.
Now this is Paul said, I'm going to get right in your face even though you're Peter. You're supposed to be the chiefest of the apostles. Because he stood condemned. Correct people if they're out of honor.
Yes.
In the church, in the leadership.
Yeah.
You won't hear that coming out the pulpit.
Go away.
Nope. Man, you leave the leadership alone. They're anointed and you're not.
Well,
no, sir. No, ma'am.
No.
If you're out of honor, somebody needs to set you straight.
Yeah.
For prior to the coming of certain men, this is what Paul goes on to say from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and withhold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. You can't break in and give in to fear. Truth has to override fear.
Be a hypocrite.
Don't be a hypocrite. Don't go wishy-washy flopping in and out. Either you believe Jesus or you don't. Take a firm stand on the truth.
Amen.
We are justified by faith, and Paul says, and he talks to the Galatians, that he says that we who are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles, how can we judge the Gentiles? You know, and find fault with them, he's trying to say here. So there are things we have to do to take a stand in these last and evil days. And you know what? The world is getting worse, and I suspect it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better.
It's going to get worse.
Because, you know, with mass communication, that was the thing that messed up the world before.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus said, so shall it be as it was in the days of Noah.
That's where we are.
As it is in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
So true.
They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the flood came and took them away. So that's the way it's going to be. So don't expect for it to get better in that sense, but be on your guard.
That's right. Amen.
Be on your guard. Stay up in prayer.
Yes.
You know, and don't set anybody aside. Just keep praying for them. Jesus said, tell them the truth. If they don't receive it, shake the dust off your feet. Move on to somebody else. Don't waste your time. You can't convince people who are stuck on wrong, but God can. So he told us what to do. Tell them the truth and keep stepping. See? Because you got a lot of work to do. A whole lot of folks haven't ever heard the gospel at all. So don't argue with people. Waste your time. Tell them the truth. Keep stepping. Put them on your prayer list. Move along. One plants and another waters, but it's God that gives the increase.
Yes, Lord.
I can't take credit for anybody who saying they got saved in the ministry. No, you didn't. I planted or I watered, God gave the increase. You see what I'm saying? So we don't have time for pride and arrogance. Too much of that going on now. See, do the work of an evangelist, he told Timothy. Fulfill your ministry. Make full proof of it. How do you do that? Keep on telling the truth no matter what happens. See? And trust God for the difference and the balance of what comes out of it. Amen. So having said that, we have to learn how to maintain and sustain godly love even against the aggressive decay that's going on in the world. Believe me, it is aggressive. And I expect it to get worse. You're starting to see, like right now, and I'm going to shut up after this. I know my time was a little short, but I had a burning message that I had to get out to you today.
Yes.
I was looking at the United Methodists and what they're dealing with.
Mm.
And I can't figure out why nobody ever said, we do what the Bible says, period. We don't write the book. God wrote the book. Why don't they tell the media, God wrote the book and that's what we do. Somebody else saying something else is the case, show me that in the book, please. That's my end to that problem.
That's it. Amen.
We don't need to meet and go around and beat up on each other and talk about this, that, and other and hold up signs and protest. What did God say? Get the book out. Read it. It's nothing to vote on. It's settled in the book.
That's it. That's
period.
Right.
Nothing to vote on.
Nothing to vote on.
You believe God or you don't.
Right.
Amen.
If you don't, you need to repent.
That's right.
You want to change the church? Go ahead. You change it. Explain it to God when you see him.
Wow.
He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh.
Right.
And that's the only thing that works anatomically. Nothing else works. See? Come on now. So how can we even a question of this? Because you forgot the Bible that you say you believe.
Right.
If you don't believe that you aren't the church, you're something else. Call yourself a social club. You are a social club. You are not the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because Christ Church believes his word. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
So that's it.
That's it.
Period. Nothing else to say on that. But you got to realize this is the kind of opposition that you and I are going to be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
It may be somebody in your own family.
That's true.
Yeah.
Might be your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who it is. But we want to love them and take a stand. Tell them God can get you straight no matter what the case is.
Yeah.
See? Only God can.
Only God.
He was the only one that could get me out of my mess.
Amen.
He's still working on me. I'm not perfect yet. So if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to invite you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. One way to be right. The scripture says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. See, we don't have to worry about what that is or wonder what that is. It's very clear. It's crystal clear in the word of God. God loves you just like you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. He'll make you better than you are if you trust him.
Oh, yes, he will.
Somebody say, put your hand in the hand of the man.
Amen.
That spilled the waters and spoke to the salt sea and said, peace be still. Put your hand in his hand. He'll get you right. Yeah. He said, trust in him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct your path. He'll show you which way to get right.
Right,
amen. No one else can do it. So if you're not saved, let's just pray right now. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for the gospel. Father, we couldn't be anything or anyone without it. Lord, we couldn't be saved. All of us here, under the sound of my voice, we have trusted that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, as an open show that sin is evil, that it would destroy even God in the flesh if it could. But the grave was defeated by your own son.
Yes, it was.
You allowed him to hang, bleed, and die, and he broke not a single commandment that you had given. And until he shed all his blood and fulfilled everything you wrote in your eternal word, he said, it is finished.
Finished.
And he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And they laid him in the grave 3 days and nights, according to your word. And early on the first day of the week, he got up with all power in his hands. He said, whosoever believes in me will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We come believing that you rose your son out the grave and seated him at your right hand in order that he might make intercession for us. And we trust in his name. Those who believe in Jesus can know for sure that they are free and they have eternal life. Bless the church today, Father. Make her strong that she might be able to stand in these last and evil days. And give us the power. You've already given us the authority. Give us the power to speak the truth in love as we walk on this walk of faith.
Yes.
Now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. And the whole church said together,
amen.
Give God a hand praise. Hallelujah.
Man, we want to take just a minute and